This is Forum. I'm John Michaels, Public Affairs Radio Director. Going to be talking about the roller dolls. I think, first of all, we need to, you spell it a little bit differently, right?
Yeah, Sioux Falls Roller Dolls with a Z.
Roller dolls have been around for how long now?
We are in our seventh season. So we started in, was it 2006 in September, that's when we started, and we're still here.
7 years, that's what the zombie walk was too, 7 years now, right?
The zombie walk, the first one was actually before us, before we were, I guess, formed. And the funny thing about that is the first annual zombie walk, I went back and looked at my pictures, and I have a picture of Julia Wild.
Yeah, we met before.
I didn't even know her through Derby because she didn't come into the league until second season, right?
Yep.
So, that was pretty interesting. I got to find those pictures.
That's funny.
I'll bring
see that.
Well, 7 years, and you've actually contributed $50,000, I guess, to the community.
Right, almost to that 50,000 mark. So that's, you know, that's the big thing that really, when I talk about roller derby and being a part of this organization, that's the one that I'm really proud of is our giving.
With us, we have Christy Naylor, Julia Wild, and Destructive Delight.
Yes.
Now, that's three of the roller dolls. How many are there?
I think right now we've probably got about 23 to 25 active skaters, and that includes our newest skaters, we call them fresh meat, as well as our veteran skaters and some of our rookies. Rookies are ones who have completed their fresh meat requirements and are skating and scrimmaging with the league. Then we also have referees. We think we have about 4 or 5 referees who keep us in line, and then of course our statisticians and volunteers who keep the game operating for us while we're rolling around and hitting each other on the track.
Those who don't know what roller derby is, I mean, they've heard about it. There was a good movie not too long ago.
Sure.
Whip It, yes. That was a great movie.
Yeah, it was a good movie.
Explain to us, what is roller derby?
This is probably the number one question we get asked, because the roller derby that started the whole entire sport back in the 70s and 80s is very different from the roller derby we play and that you're going to see across the country right now. We play flat track derby. That's one of the biggest differences. So there's no ramp. There's no railing to hit people. It's all on a flat surface. It's an oval-shaped track, and each team gets to field 5 players at a time. Of those 5 players, 4 are blockers, and 1 is your
jammer.
The person that gets points. I know, that's jammer. My job, and I can't even say it. And they're your jammer. She wears a star on her helmet, so you can tell as she passes opponents, that's how she gets points.
Now, what's a jammer do? You keep the other team from getting ahead of you, or what do you do?
You know, it's like a race, pretty much, I guess, to explain it. And, you know, there's 2 30-minute periods and 14 girls on each team. So, and Julia's talking about the jam and the jammers. So jams go to 2 minutes. So it's like a play. So they get in there. You've got your 4 blockers from each team, jammers from each team. So those jammers got to get through that pack of blockers. And every time they come around and lap the pack, they pick up a point for passing an opposing player. Think about those blockers. That's exactly what their job is. They're going to block. They have to, their number one job is to stop the other team's jammer. So, you know, it is a very physical game. There's, you know, hip checks and shoulder checks, and but there's also refs watching. You know, you can't be fighting or excessive hitting. You will be ejected, or you will go to the penalty box. So it's a real sport. And we kind of, a lot of people remember back into the 70s and dog piles and clotheslines and throwing them over the line or over the rail. And roller derby, you know, modern roller derby has really evolved from that.
Well, it was more like wrestling back then.
Right.
Now it's more like hockey now.
Yeah, I like to, the analogy I like is it's like hockey meets NASCAR. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got people going really fast, and you got people hitting really hard. So when those two things combine, it makes for a really action-packed sport. And there's a lot of strategy involved that I think is something, you know, our experienced fans really enjoy about the game is because you're playing a lot of times simultaneous offense and defense, and it changes, you know, at just the drop of the hat, you'll see the whole entire team, you know, throw a play in there, and it's exciting, I guess, to see how the sport has evolved since we began, which was really pretty basically, you know, turn left, skate fast, hit hard.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you're walking the dog, do you always want to turn left?
Believe it or not, and I've gone through some boot camps where they do measurements. Almost everybody on the team, their left leg is about an inch to a half inch bigger than their right, just because we turn to the left so much. We're all a little overdeveloped. Our chiropractors just throw their hands up in the air every time.
So now that two-minute jam, is that kind of like the power play in hockey?
No. Kind of like the periods. Like you get 2 minutes to score as many points as you can, and you have 30 seconds to reset players.
How do you score a point then?
Your jammer scores points by passing opponents at the hip. So basically each blocker is trying to protect their own points as well as their teammates' points by staying in front of that jammer. So you can do that with speed, or you can do it with blocking. So positional blocking, putting up walls, knocking that jammer down or out of bounds.
And the jammer has a star on her helmet. So
yes,
that's how everybody knows that that's the girl they're gunning for or gunning with.
Yes.
Well, Christy, do you jammer too or?
I'm a jammer. I'm a developing jammer. I started a year and a half ago. So I'm still kind of new, and I look up to Julia to learn how to be a good jammer on the track.
Well, Christy Naylor, how did you come up with that name?
Well, I'm Christy Taylor on the radio, and so it kind of fell into place, and it was a name that wasn't too far off from what people know me as, and so we just threw names around until one stuck.
You recognize that voice on Kello FM and KTWB, which, by the way, just switched.
Yeah, big news all around this week.
But they still hear you on both stations, so it's going to be hard to tell.
Right.
But why did you decide to become a roller doll?
Well, they've come in to do a lot of radio interviews with us, and I knew about roller derby when I lived in other areas, and I knew that they were really big about giving back and being involved in the community, and I'm an athlete. I've always been into fitness, and I was a college soccer player, and I really wanted to do something athletic and fun, and one of our other DJs, Ryder from The Crow, was really interested in it, so we decided we'll get our gear and we'll just check it out. Let's do it.
What does Ryder do?
She helps a lot with the other things that you don't see on the track, the things that are behind the scenes that keep the league running. She does a lot of organizing for big events. She uses her connections through radio to help with a lot of the different bands and entertainment and the different things that we need to keep things going. And she does scorekeeping, a lot of those things.
What do they look for a score? It's when you pass the opponent, you get a point. Are there other things that you do that makes points, I guess? What are some of the other things?
Passing an opposing player. So that girl you're trying to pass, her job is trying to stop you. So it's
at all costs.
Yes.
Usually.
How do you keep them from passing you?
Like I said, you know, you can do positional blocking, which is you know, you're basically keeping your body in front of them. You're guarding your point. Or you
sticking
can
your booty in front of them.
Yep,
you can say
booty,
it, right?
Yep, you're putting your booty on them. Or you are staying away from them. Jammers are notoriously usually the fastest skaters on that team for obvious reasons, because the more times you can pass people, the more points you can get. So a lot of blockers, too, will try to chase away from the jammer and stay in front of them that way, too.
But you can't clothesline. That's putting your arm out. You can't do that.
No. Yeah. That'll be a penalty.
You can hit. You can shoulder check, hip check. There's refs watching, so, you know, you can't be, like I said, no excessive hits or gross misconduct.
Right. We've got, we call them, you know, target zones. There's places you can hit on somebody, and there's places you cannot hit. Places you can't hit people, you can't hit above the neck. Along the spine, nothing mid-arm down, so no hooking elbows or strong-arming people like a clothesline. And also no blocking below mid-thigh, so no clipping wheels or kicking out, anything that's kind of deemed dangerous skate play. I mean, we all wear hockey helmets as a league because we're in a contact sport. We've had a lot of concussions, and we want to do as much as possible to avoid that. So moving to the hockey helmets with better coverage has been one of the big steps. And
a higher rated protection. We followed the rule set of the Women's Flat Track Derby Association. It's called the WFTDA. It's like the NBA of roller derby. We are members of it, of the North Central Conference. They have, you know, regions and tournament and championships. So being a part of that organization, they're even bigger than we, of course. You know, they're a big organization, and they have members from all over
the world.
And they help develop the rules and changing the different rule sets. And, you know, so if there's actually was just a big major, you know, rule change where they got rid of all the minors. If you had four minors, you'd spend a minute in the penalty box, one major a minute in the penalty box. So
what's a minor?
Well, minors are gone, so it would be I throw an elbow to Julia. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
they were kind of low impact hits. Maybe they didn't affect your game, but it was kind of like, well, you know, she kind of touched her in the back, so we're going to give her a back blocking minor.
Kind of a warning.
A warning.
Say, if you keep doing that, you're going to go into the box.
Right.
So the difference, and then a major would be I throw an elbow and Julia goes down. That's a major.
Okay. Is it kind of like NASCAR where if one driver bumps the other one is going to be out to pay him back?
Well, and now that's the big reason why the rule change happened was that it was kind of bogging down the sport. It made it hard for fans watching to understand, you know, I could elbow Destructive Delight four times and get four minors, and then she's going to get sent to the penalty box. Well, fans who weren't keeping up with what the calls were happening can't figure out why Destructive just went to the box. So the new rule change has really helped let the skaters skate. It's helped make the fans more engaged with what's happening on the track. And it's just kind of opened the sport up to be more accessible in general. So well,
you say it's a flat track. You don't go into the railing.
No railing.
Sometimes we go into fans. Occasionally cameras. I think I have destroyed at least one camera.
But is there a boundary line if you go past that boundary line? Then
there's a 10-foot mark from the track, which we have for safety purposes. We also have referees on the outside of the track, which we've also hit a couple times. But they skate on the outside of the track to watch and make sure skaters stay in the boundary. So that 10-foot boundary is as close as you can get to the track. And we do have what we call suicide seating, where fans who are brave enough and over 18 can sit within
right
10 feet of the track, and they really like it on turn three, where the big hits are.
Coming out of the curve.
And you can be there. We just ask you cover your beer up and make sure you don't have anything expensive, because
usually
skaters aren't going to stop and say sorry if they crash into you. They're going to get up and get back into the game. So
we call that fan mail. When
when
an opposing skater,
doll,
when
you delivery.
A skater is ends up in a fan's lap, that's fan mail.
No. What other teams do you play? Is this a North Central Conference? Or?
Well, we've kind of played teams from all over. Obviously, just because we have so many teams here in the Midwest, we happen to play a lot of the ones who are close to us. So there's two teams in Minneapolis that we play a lot, the Minnesota Roller Girls, the North Star Roller Girls.
We just played Duluth. They just came here.
Duluth.
Fargo has a team. We've played them a lot.
Bemidji,
Sioux City.
There's a lot of teams in Iowa.
Yep. We've also played in Indianapolis. We've played in London.
I was going to say, just like the Vikings.
Yeah.
We started
a little
it.
Better than the Vikings. Yeah. 2 years ago, we fundraised and went to London. 5 days, played three bouts.
Oh, boy.
That was quite an experience for everybody. And, you know, each skater had to pay like $600, was it $600? And we fundraised the rest
trip,
of it,
so.
And the league covered the rest of it. So
who won those three bouts?
We brought home two wins.
All right.
So
now, is it really big in Europe too then?
It's
big really
everywhere,
big
yes.
It's kind of a combination of soccer and roller skating, I guess,
right.
too. Yeah.
Well, it's growing internationally at just a crazy rate. We've got a ton of teams in Europe. Australia has its own governing body of roller derby now. And then it's also growing huge in South America. Come May, our league was selected to be part of an international roller derby tournament in Florida. So we'll be heading down to Florida in May to compete against teams from around the country, including some very new teams from Brazil, Costa Rica, some countries that are just starting up. So it's pretty exciting to see these new countries putting together these roller derby teams and coming to compete in the United States.
Might even be Olympic someday.
That's the talk. That's the rumor.
Yeah, the Derby World Cup is also an event that happens every 2 years, and I believe it happens in 2014 down in Texas. So,
well, now your season finale is coming up, right?
Yes.
November.
November 9th.
Is that your next?
Yep, that's the next one.
November 9th. So how do you practice for that?
Well, you know, this one is a little different because our season close, it's the fourth annual?
Yep.
Pirates versus Ninjas. So this is a chance for all the girls to skate. You know, we roster 14 skaters. You have to make attendance. You have to pass your minimum skills to skate on the team. This is an opportunity for everybody to get a chance. So we split into two groups. Pirates versus Ninjas.
Ninjas.
And
it's fun. It's a fun rivalry, and it's always a really big event for us every year because, like Destructive said, everyone gets to play and everyone gets to have fun. And
yeah, and this is the only bout that we keep the proceeds. The proceeds to this one go to our travel fund, would help with London and going to Florida and stuff like that. So,
talking with Destructive Delight, how'd you come up with that name?
My real name is Joy, so I needed something still happy, but so, you know, I picked a name, so I'm an oxymoron, destructive delight.
So when you put on that uniform and the helmet, you're a different person.
I am. You know, and actually, I don't skate. I'm all talk. I'm the announcer for the team. So
she's got a cape, though.
I skated for 2 seasons and then just decided, you know, I did it. I did have an injury and decided, you know, I think I do better behind the mic.
So we can honestly say you're just all talk.
I am. I'm all talk.
Julia Wild is with us and Christy Naylor. Mm-hmm. Now, Christy, how do you find time to do all of this with all the things you do?
You know, and I'm not the only one who's busy on the team. We all, a lot of the girls have kids at home. Everybody's a working parent or working, you know, as many hours as I do. We practice 2 times a week, 2.5 hours each time. So we get in a lot of practicing in that time frame, and we're one of the best conditioned teams, I think, that we ever face because we spend so much time at once working, working on our skills and scrimmaging.
Durance.
I think you just find time for it because it's something fun. It's a release. It's a way to get away from all your other life activities. And for some girls, it really opens them up to be more confident and to do things they never imagined they could do.
They always say a good advocation, which is the opposite of what you do, is the best vacation, doing something totally different than what mm-hmm. you do normally. Now, you just got married a month or so ago.
It's coming up.
Oh, coming up. Okay. Does your future husband, does he skate too?
No. He sort of thought about it. They do have men's leagues. We don't have one here in Sioux Falls area. He does do a lot to help, though. He helps sell the balls that we toss during bouts.
Yeah.
And he drives the vans.
His derby name is Puddin'.
Oh. Yeah, he ran that in a road trip, affectionately known as Puddin'.
Kind of a mascot, then.
He's good at it.
But, you know, in the wintertime, I suppose you guys go out roller skating. I mean, ice skating.
You know, we've never done that as a group.
I'm afraid because the center of balance is so different on quads than it is on that blade. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how that would affect us.
I tried ice skating once, and I was terrified of falling. I'm like, wait, I fall on concrete, like, 6 hours a week. And I'm like, ice.
I know, all your gear on.
I should have. I would have stunk everybody out.
These aren't your grandmother's ice or roller skates. These got special wheels and all that kind of, like skateboards, I suppose.
Oh, yeah. You can pimp out your skates anyway. I mean, most of the skates we wear are low top, kind of give your ankle a little more range of motion. But you'll see people rocking small, large, wide, skinny, tall wheels, different softnesses and hardnesses. So
different skating surfaces use different wheels.
Skating styles use different wheels. So you'll see just about every kind of color in the rainbow and size of wheels on our team.
So you can invest a lot in skates if you want.
Oh, yeah. Thousands. Sky is the limit.
You can even get skates custom made. Mm-hmm. The Rydell company is in Minneapolis or in the cities. But yeah, you can go there and they'll custom make skates for you for thousands of dollars. So yeah, it can be in a spendy sport.
Well, this weekend you guys were pretty bloody, I guess, Saturday.
Brains.
In other words, a zombie walk is what I'm saying. Yeah.
Is there still some blood left on us? I think we cleaned up pretty well, huh?
Pretty decent.
Yeah, the hair looks pretty good.
Yeah, you know, zombie walk is one of our big fundraisers. Zombie walk and Bacon Fest are two of our big fundraisers outside of our bouts and our games that we have. So yeah, you know, we've been with doing zombie walk for last four years. It got so big, and Kerry Roberts came to us and said, you know, I need some help. So would you guys be willing to take this on, and you can, you know, help with get some of the proceeds? And we were like, we can do it. So, and we did it.
We've been talking almost 20 minutes now, and we still haven't talked about where this money you've been contributing is going, because you got some great things that you're doing.
You know, everybody in our league, nobody gets paid. I mean, and that's a big thing that I push. And that's at every bout, it's my spiel that I give every bout. And down to our refs, our EMTs that we ask, you know, we ask them to donate their time. So we always pick a charity for each one of our bouts, our home bouts. And the last one was Make-A-Wish South Dakota. We invite the organization to come out. They even get to speak at the bout. We had a little Make-A-Wish girl blow the start whistle at the bout. So it's an opportunity for some of these organizations to get their name out there, too.
Well, Camp Bring It On, I know, is one of your favorite projects.
Our favorite.
Absolutely favorite.
Yes.
Not just because we need to go to camp.
But yeah, you know, Camp Bring It On, if you're not familiar with it, is a camp for kids with cancer. And For 1 week, these kids go to camp, and they're full medical staff there, and they can be kids at camp and not worry about cancer. Another big thing, too, is that they're there with other kids that are going through the same things. You know, they go to school here, and their friends in their public school here, they don't understand what kids go through or what they're going through with cancer. So we were invited up 1 year to have a day with the kids. So every year we go up for 1 day and get to hang out with the kids, and Julia Wilde usually gets a little crazy with them. And
well, I always get the middle school boys. They're like the most fun. It's not like we get crazy. We just really like the paintball guns. It's been fun for us because I've gotten to go the last 4 years. My work is kind enough to let me have a vacation day to use to go up there, and it's fun because you get to see the same kids every year. And they remember us, and, you know, there's just that instant connection, like we're long-lost friends. And I'm like, it's pretty powerful when you think about what these kids have been through. And
well, it's a lot that the fact is they're still there the next year.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, they're so resilient. They have such an amazing outlook in the world, and it's just, you know, they just have so much fun. It's just great to be around them.
Yeah.
Well, Christy, you're smiling a little bit. This is something that affects you, I know.
Well, I haven't had the chance. I've been with the league long enough to mm-hmm. be able to go up to camp, bring it on. But we do the Radiothon for Kids mm-hmm. at Sanford Children's Hospital. So I get to meet probably a lot of the same mm-hmm. kids that they do. And I know year after year, I've done that now 3 years, that you do develop that connection. And these kids have got a hand dealt to them that nobody should have to deal with, especially at that age. Mm-hmm. And so it's good to know that we can help these kids. And at the Radiothon, we talk a lot about Camp Bring It On. And it's cool to see it come full circle and to see other girls and other women in our area taking part in a lot of different ways.
Yeah. You know, in like some of the other charities that we've, Humane Society, Autism.
Children's Inn, the Rape and Domestic Abuse Center, the Food Pantry. I mean, we've got so many organizations, and what I love is that, you know, not only am I giving more with the Roller Dolls than I could ever have done individually, I'm also getting a personal connection with a lot of these charities. Mm-hmm. You know, we helped out Big Brothers and Big Sisters, and that led me to become a big sister. Mm-hmm. You know, we helped out with Camp Bring It On, and now I'm going every summer and meeting these kids. So it's giving me a personal connection to the community that I know I couldn't have got any other way.
Yep. And some of the charities that we pick, like Autism, we have a couple moms that have autistic children. So, you know, we try to impact different charities or organizations that you know, we can see the direct effect too.
And over the 7 years, it's added up to over almost $50,000.
Yeah, we're about 47 something. Mm-hmm. I didn't have time to check our latest numbers, but you know, that's a big chunk of cash.
Well, if anybody wants to make a donation, you know, they can leave that at the ticket office at the front desk when they come
right,
in.
Right, or yeah, rollerdollsthez.com is our website. There's mm-hmm. also a donation link on there if you'd like to donate online. All of it stays local. That's a huge part of our mission, is to keep the funds we raise in the Sioux Empire, because, you know, our community is investing in us. We want to invest in our mm-hmm. community in return.
Yeah, we played in Yankton over the summer, and then proceeds went to United Way in Yankton, wasn't it?
The, mm-hmm. yep.
yep. Yep. So, you know,
we've done games in Brookings where it's benefited the Boys and Girls Club up there in Brookings. So, yep. I mean, it's staying local, which is a huge part of what we do.
You know, and if somebody's interested, I mean, we'd like to hear. We'd pitch us. Maybe we'll give you some money in your organization. Right. And just on the website, there's a
contact.
Yeah, we'll be nice.
We'll promise.
You're flexible. Now, November 9th, where's it going to be?
We've been at the Coliseum downtown, 5th mm-hmm. and Main. Great venue. It's so fun
it's
in
fun.
There. We've actually bounced a lot of different venues here in Sioux Falls, and looking to the future, there's probably going to be a lot more options available for us. But, yeah, the Coliseum is, you know, it's a great venue. It's a lot smaller. Our fans, I think, really enjoy it.
And it's fun to be downtown.
Yeah.
You know, that's
yeah.
been a big thing for us, too.
Well, I know you have some loyal fans, but how many fans do you usually get in a show?
Oh, boy.
You know, I think
kind of
600 to 1,000. It, you know, we did. One thing we found out is summer bouts don't work. We can't get fans in.
We can't compete with nice weather.
We can't compete with summer.
So.
Well, and I don't even want to be here on the summer. I want to leave and go to the lake or go wherever. So winter, we have a lot better attendance in winter. Or if it rains.
Yeah,
if it rains, then it's like huge. So.
Well, it beats the heck out of a bake sale.
Yes.
Now, November 9th is your season close, but when do you start the season next year?
March.
February. February, I believe we have a doubleheader in Brookings. Brookings just started up their own roller derby team about a year ago, so they are going to be the headlining game, and then we will be playing Sioux City directly following them. So look for some more information as that comes out on our website, but always fun to be in Brookings and support a new derby team.
Yep, and you know, our season close, one thing I always point out or I want to say is we're very family friendly. You know, and we and kids 10 and under free. So, I mean, if you've got kids, I mean, it can be a very affordable family night if you've
got
bring them down. Because they really enjoy it too. And, you know, they'll want Julia Wilde's autograph. And
well, give us some of the other players. You know, some of their names are pretty colorful. And who are some of the other players that have been with you for a while?
We got Dusty Bibles.
That's probably one of my very appropriate Sunday morning names. There's apparently a billboard that said that Dusty Bibles lead to dirty lives or something, and so she thought it was so clever she kept it as her name, and I think she gets the most questions about why her name is Dusty Bible, so now you've heard it here first.
Yeah, Jackie O'Smashes.
Mm-hmm.
Frenchie Fistfighter, Little Wicked.
Bone Break. Most true to name, I think, on the team.
Her last name is Bone Break, and her derby name is Bone Breaker.
She was literally born to skate in roller derby.
And she, oh my goodness, she is.
I got Trixie Tang, BAC.
Yeah. BAC works for the she's a CSI
toxicologist.
So
she's 0.08 her number.
Blood so alcohol content, so that's what that stands for when you hear people scream BAC. Back.
Do you have any trouble getting insurance if they know you're a roller doll? Or?
We actually have league insurance, mm-hmm. protect skaters, and we don't require insurance. Of course, it's highly encouraged if you don't have any personal insurance to get some major accident. But, you know, what always amazes me is we're in a contact sport. We practice a lot. We play hard. We really don't see a whole lot of injuries because we condition so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't
lots
see it like with intramural or even city sports.
Do you still get together on off season a little bit in practice?
Oh yes, we're this is my family.
Yes,
yeah. Even when we're on break, air quotes, we still. Yeah. Hey guys, what's going on? You guys
haven't
go to
seen you for
skate?
A week.
I know. It's pretty ridiculous.
It is quite a family. And you know, and Naylor, you could probably. I mean, mm-hmm. you just moved here.
Yeah.
You know, well, 3 years, not just move here, but it's like 30 instant friends. You know, and everybody's, I think it's very empowering for a woman to be a part of this organization. Mm-hmm. And even for men, I know that, you know, the guys that help us out are...
They're like big brothers.
They are. And, you know, I think that's one thing that's really, you know, besides the donating is the sisterhood or the friendships that you build.
Does somebody bring cookies or?
Sometimes we get
cookies,
lots of goodies.
Beers.
Yes,
and PBRs. I think one thing that is really amazing about the sport is that you'll see all shapes and sizes on the track. And the thing about derby is there are so many different positions and different skills that you can have and still be a tremendously good player. So even if you're a bigger girl, you might be a perfect blocker. Mm-hmm. And your size, you can learn how to use your body type and what you're gifted with naturally to be a good player. So we're not looking for one stereotype to be in the league. And I think a lot of girls find a home where nothing else seems to be a fit for them. And that is also, as Destructive was saying, part of why it feels so good to be part of this group.
Mm-hmm. Now, like in that movie we were talking about, do you do that slingshot deal?
We
had a lot of whips last game, which was helpful, by the way.
Yeah, you
know, it was a couple times it kind of saved my butt.
That is it's something we practice.
You're required to learn the whips. There's a couple of different whips. So.
And that's just pretty much a blocker giving their momentum to the jammer.
How fast do you think you get going? At probably 20 miles an hour.
I wish someone would clock us, because I know Jackie O'Smashes goes so fast.
Yeah. If you didn't have to turn, just think about how fast you could go.
Have you had any really serious injuries, though?
Oh, sure.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Jackie O'Smashes, she surgery on it, broke her leg. She had surgery out for quite a while. But
Sandra Devious. From an ankle injury.
But, you know, these girls are going through rehab, getting back on skates, and Jackie's back 100%, really. Right. I mean...
Well, our time's running out. Sioux Falls Roller Dolls, November 9th at the Old Coliseum Auditorium downtown.
Yep, doors at 5, roll at 6.
Okay, and it's like you say, this is the season finale to catch them this season. Julia Wilde, Destructive Delight, and Christy Naylor, want to thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.